Welcome to the Wednesday, May 16th, 2012 edition of the Sands and its Storm Center's Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich, and I'm today recording from Jacksonville, Florida. Let's start with a couple of odd packet issues that came in on Tuesday. First of all, an issue that actually affected some of our readers. We kept hearing from readers not being able to access our site. The reports were sporadic, and we really had a hard time debugging this. Finally, we had a very patient reader, thanks a lot, that ran a number of tests with our network team while they tweaked and tested various firewall and server configuration parameter. Turned out that the issue in the end came down to how Blue Coat proxies use timestamps, and the fact that our firewall in error removed timestamps from packets entering the network. And to make things worse, didn't change the checksum. So if you had issues connecting to isc.sans.edu in the past, try again. This may affect other systems as well, not just Blue Coat. The error was certainly on our end and not a problem with Blue Coat. In general, it is a bad idea usually for a firewall to modify packets and trying to clean them up. If you do so, you should do so only in very specific cases, typically for outbound traffic, not for inbound traffic. A firewall should really focus on blocking and dropping suspect traffic, not trying to clean it up. The second packet issue we had come in concerns my favorite protocol, DNS. A reader reports that he sees duplicate replies to some of the queries his recursive DNS server is sending to outside authoritative name servers. In this case, the responses are both identical, so this does not appear to be an issue of spoofing. I'll publish a few more details later in a second diary about this topic. We have a little stub diary about this today, but there is really more to clarify what's exactly going on here. The reader mentioned queries for Akamai services, and the responses arrive once from the expected IP address and a second time from a 10. IP address. The responses from the 10. Address are discarded by the firewall in his case. Originally, DNS did actually not require the response to originate from the IP address the query was directed to. This somewhat odd behavior was accepted for a stateless protocol like UDP and multi-homed servers. However, later in RFC 2181, this behavior was clarified, and it states now that many clients will disregard such responses, and it states that's not just the query ID, but it's really the source IP along with the query ID that is used to identify the responses, and then, of course, more recently, also the source port. I have observed badly configured bind name servers, for example, that send responses via the default IP address versus the one the query was received at. However, I haven't experienced the behavior of duplicate packets, and I suspect in our, like in our first case today, a packet filtering device, maybe a NAT device, is the culprit here that still lets the original packet go through in this case. Please let us know if you observe similar issues, and we really need some full packet captures to track down what's going on here. In data breaches today, Mia Darlin Kickstarter suffered a breach exposing yet unpublished projects. No user data like passwords or payment information was disclosed. And actually, Kickstarter does one thing right here. They have Amazon deal with all of their payments, so they're not even touching credit card numbers and such. The issue I haven't really seen covered yet is the leak. How will this endanger, for example, patent and trademark filings if data now became public too earlier than expected by these projects? But we also have a number of patches to mention today. Apple updated QuickTime for Windows. The OS X update actually already was included in the most recent OS X patch. And Microsoft released a new version of its Enhanced Mitigation Experience tool. This tool, it's now in version 3, will allow you to enable exploit protection technologies that didn't exist yet when the particular binary was built. So a great way to harden legacy software that you may have sitting around. The new version of the tool appears to be focusing on making it just easier to deploy the tool. And a new vulnerability was disclosed in Adobe Photoshop. Exploitation of the vulnerability may lead to arbitrary code execution. Sadly, no patch for it yet. Affects version 5 of Photoshop. In order to expose the vulnerability, a Collada file, typically with the extension of DAE, has to be opened. Well, and that's it for today. So thanks again for listening and talk to you again tomorrow. Bye.